Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about music and artists from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s when it comes to rap, soul, hip hop, and R&B. Simply put, folks, this is the best music podcast that you have never heard until right now. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in. Shout out to those of you who are watching on YouTube. Now, you see the title, 15 Albums That Stick With You. Now, before I tell you how or what this podcast is about, let me tell you how I got here. I was, if you're, you know, old and washed like me, you probably have a Facebook account, right? And so what's interesting in the Facebook, they will have this section called memories. And basically when you click on the memory section of Facebook, it'll pull up, if today is June 1st, it'll pull up all of your posts from June 1st each year that you made a post. So whatever that post is, if you posted a picture of you and your dog on June 1st, it'll pull up that picture. If you posted something about, going out to town with your friends, it'll post that as well. And so memories, they have a way of, you know, keeping track and keeping up with the things that you've posted over the years. And so it's always interesting to check your memories because, you know, if you're anything like me, and you probably, and maybe if you used to post a lot of stuff on Facebook, you have the ability to go back and see what you were doing, what you were saying, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And I think I've had my Facebook account at least 18 years, so it's been a while, right? So I am a Facebook and Twitter veteran. But I came upon an entry and it said the same thing. It said, name 15 albums that stick with you. And it said, tag 15 friends and you have to do this in 15 minutes. Now, tagging 15 friends, it wasn't a problem. Naming 15 albums that stuck with me in 15 minutes, that, my friends, was the problem. Because on the surface, you think that you can do it relatively quickly. Try it. You won't do it quickly. And I'll be honest, it took me a little bit more than 15 minutes to do. Now, I had that in my memory bank of Facebook, so I was able to see some of the things. But what I realized was, when I did that 15 years ago, some of those albums are still there. Some of them aren't with me that still stick with me. So in this episode, what I wanted to do is share those with you and also encourage each and every one of you, particularly those of you who are podcasters. If you want to remix this episode, give me your 15 albums that still stick with you to this day. And it can be in any genre of music. You could do all rap. You could do all R&B. You could do all the rock and roll. Or you could do how many ever. Wherever those albums lie, it's on you. It doesn't have to be anything in particular. So I will start with the albums that stuck with me or still stick with me to this day. And they're in no particular order. First up. We're going to go with Stevie Wonder, Songs in the Key of Life. That one is, it's an amazing album. I think you could make a case that it's one of the greatest albums of all time. Now, here's the thing, and I meant to mention this before. These don't have to be the greatest albums. They just have to be albums that stick with you. It could be an album that no one's ever heard of but you, but it's an album that it sticks with you because you and your, I don't know, best friend when y'all were 7 years old found the album together. I don't know. But yeah, Songs in the Key of Life, Stevie Wonder. that album, I think it came out the year that I was born, if I'm not mistaken. But it was an album, as I mentioned before, you know, in here several times, that my parents always had music in the house. And they had Stevie Wonder albums, and that was one of the first albums that I remember playing constantly over and over again because it had so many songs, and it was just a dope album. Huge Stevie Wonder fan when I was growing up. Still Stevie Wonder fan to this day. So that's one album. And again, these are no particular order. Number two, 1984's Prince, Purple Rain. As many of you know, I mean, Prince is... he's my favorite artist of all time, any genre of music. And I think that album was my, it wasn't my introduction to Prince, but the first album that I remember getting to have for my own was the Purple Rain album. At first, my mom bought me the 45. Shout out to the 45s. My mom bought me the 45. The 45 was on side A. Shout out to side A and side B. I wish I had time to talk about that, but she bought me the 45, and the 45 had it was an actual purple record, and it was When Doves Cry was on side A, and side B was 17 Days, and 17 Days went on to become my favorite Prince song because that was the first song that I played over and over. I love that song. It's my favorite Prince song. But yeah, that album, Purple Rain, 1984, is an album that sticks with me to this day. Number three, 1994's Illmatic by Nas. Man, listen, I've done several episodes on this album. I could talk about this album all day. Shout out to Britt. Shout out to my girl, Britt Renee, from the I Can Talk About This All Day podcast. Literally, I think this is one of the greatest hip hop albums ever. And it's only 39 minutes. And my only knock on the album is that it's 39 minutes. It is, to me, it's flawless. And it's an album that I listened to when I was in college. And so it came to me at the right time. And I will never, ever stop playing this album. There was a point in time in my life, probably up until maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I would play Illmatic every Friday without fail, every single Friday, never missed a Friday. In fact, this Friday I'll play it just so I can start the cycle all over again. But incredible album, Nas's debut album. Again, these are in no particular order. Next up, 1987. You see the shirt if you're watching on YouTube, Paid in Full, Eric B and Rakim. I think this for me is probably the greatest hip hop album ever. And this album came to me at a time where I was young and really and truly falling in love with the genre. This album made me fall in love with hip hop or rap at the time. But, you know, now it's hip hop. I think Rakim is greatest lyricist ever. And this album is a big reason why. Again, this album, while it's not the most played album that I've ever had, it still gets a lot of play in my ride. Shout out to Eric B and Rakim. Next up, again, these are no particular order. Number five, 1993, A Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders is the album. This album, man, another flawless album. I was in college when it came out. I was at South Carolina State University, and I literally played this CD. I played this CD so much, man, till the words and everything rubbed off the CD. It is an album that I still play to this day. This album will always stick with me because of where I was in my life and then what Tribe Called Quest meant to me and still means to me at this point in time. Shout out, rest in peace to Fife. Yeah, man, this album is cold. This album is so cold, and it'll always stick with me. It'll always be, if I'm ever doing something, I like, okay, I need something to pick me up or need something to listen to, Midnight Marauders is always going to get put on. Number six, I know you're thinking, well, he hasn't mentioned any R&B music yet. Okay, here you go. 1994, Mary Jane Blige, My Life. Oh my gosh, I love this album. This album to me is phenomenal. Now, I think part of why, outside of this album being an incredible body of work, this album, I think, was very pivotal for me because when I was listening to this album, when this album came out in 1994, I met this young lady who I didn't know at the time. I met her. We got to be friends. Then we started dating. Then we fell in love. Then I asked her to be my girl. She became my girl. And the story goes on and on and on. And at the time of this recording, we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. We've been married 25 years. And I trace a lot of what we do and who we are back to that CD. We used to, I would go pick her up on campus at South Carolina State University. That's where we met. And we'd get in my little Nissan Sentra and we'd ride around. And a lot of times we'd be listening to this album. So a lot of songs and everything connect to that album. And, you know, while I can listen to this album any time of the day, any day of the week, it always refers me back to my love for my wife, Charisse. So that's one of the reasons why this album sticks with me. Number seven, again, in no particular order, 1996, Illadelph Half-Life from the legendary Roots Crew. This album is my personal favorite from 1996, which says a lot because, as you know, there were some incredible albums to come out in 1996 as far as hip-hop is concerned. This album always sticks with me, man, because like this album just grabs you from the start to finish and it doesn't let up. And while it sounds definitely different from Do You Want More, it's my personal favorite album from the Roots. I think, you know, Black Thought and Malik B, rest in peace, were doing their thing. Questlove, crazy album. Still, it never left the CD changer. Shout out to my 6-disc CD changer, my Nissan Sentra. It never left. Never left. Next up. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast, hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes. Number eight. I will say that 1988 is the greatest year in hip hop. And this is the best album from 1988, and that is It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, Public Enemy. Now you want to talk about bangers? This album bangs from the front to the back to the middle to the end, with the exception of the last song. This album is flawless, is cold. This album is all hip hop. I mean, like, it is hip hop to its core. If you had never heard hip hop before and you wanted to introduce a person to hip hop, play this album. It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. Chuck D, Flavor Flav, the S1Ws, Professor Griff. Incredible. Incredible album. Still gets played all the time. Number nine. 1986. The group is Run DMC. And the album is called Raising Hell. This album is a phenomenal body of work. It is my favorite. I think it's the best from Run DMC. Run DMC, greatest hip hop group of all time. I don't even think it's close. They paved the way for everybody. They kicked down doors for, everybody in hip hop. If there was no Run DMC, I don't know if hip hop as we know it would exist. And this album propelled Run DMC. I never get tired of listening to this album. If you have not heard it, go give it a spin. Run DMC, 1986. That album still goes. Raising Hell, check it out. We're coming up on 15, but right now we're number 10. 1995's Brown Sugar, D'Angelo. Man, what can I say about this album? This album, I've done quite a few podcast episodes on it. This album is wow. That's all I can say. I had never heard of this D'Angelo character, never knew anything about him, but that album in 1995 was a part of the influx of neo soul into our conscious. And that's one of the reasons why it sticks with me. That album touches your soul, at least to me. If you have soul, it'll touch it. I love this album. It's another one that I never stop playing. I still play it. Most of these albums, I'm not gonna say most, every album that I've named, I've played within the last 30 days. These albums never fall out of rotation. Number 11, Aquemini, Outkast. Listen, if you know me, you know I am a huge Outkast fan. Personally, I think this is their best album. This album, it meant so much to me because Outkast means a lot to me. And I think it was the peak of Outkast's prime, if you will. And there's still things that I hear on this album, even listening to it to this day, that I didn't pick up, 10, 15 years ago. Andre 3000, Big Boy, were incredible on this album. It is a must listen. If you have not heard it, if you didn't think it was good, then it's even better now. So get off the hate train and go check this album out. Next up, number 12. Again, these are in no particular order. 1988, R&B side, New Edition, Heartbreak. Bro, this album was everything. And I mentioned it before a couple of weeks ago on the episode where we did the verse of the week for Can You Stand the Rain by New Edition. This album was very important because it was the first album without Bobby Brown, and nobody knew how it would look or how it would feel or even if it'd be good. And I mean, it didn't help the fact that Bobby Brown dropped what we didn't know at the time was a classic in the Don't Be Cruel album. But Any Heartbreak is right there. It's right there with Don't Be Cruel. Different style, but still a funky ass album from start to finish. I'm a huge New Edition fan, so this album is always going to stick with me. Always. Number 13, Kendrick Lamar, To Pimp a Butterfly. Listen, this album to me is better than Good Kid, Mad City. This album is better than Section 80. That being said, this, I think, is his best work. And I also think that if they were handing out five mics, this probably is the last album to get five mics in my eyes. I can't really think of any album since the last five mic album to this album. And I don't think I've heard a five mic album since this album. I love this album. I think Kendrick crushed it from start to finish. You need to dig into everything that came into how he got to this point. And yes, if there was not a Section 80, then there wouldn't have been a Good Kid, Mad City, and there wouldn't have been To Pimp a Butterfly. But I think To Pimp a Butterfly is that much better, and love it. I never stop playing it. Never stop playing it. It is still a phenomenal piece of work. Next up, D'Angelo again. This time, Voodoo in 2000. Man, everything that Brown Sugar was, Voodoo was too, but at another notch. Now, I personally like Brown Sugar, and I think Brown Sugar is slightly better. But, I mean, to have two albums that stick with me from the same artist, that's saying a lot, because this is the only one. But Voodoo is incredible. If you have not played Voodoo, just do me a favor. Play Voodoo. The next time you play Voodoo, don't play it all the way through. Just go to play it and hit shuffle and let your, you know, computer or your CD player or your CD changer pick the song. You're not going to find a bad song. I promise you, you're going to find some dope ass music all the way through that album. So yeah, I there's so much more. I could do a podcast just on Voodoo alone, and I probably will, because I already have, but I may do another one. And last but not least, albums that stick with me. 2008, the group is The Foreign Exchange. The album is called Leave It All Behind. Man, listen, I had no idea who this group was, where they came from, or anything. I heard a sample of a song on the internet, and it was only a 30-second clip, and the sample was called Leave It All Behind. And so I'm like, well, what is this? And nobody could tell me what it was. I had to literally search for it. When I found it, I found that this group was called The Foreign Exchange. Now, I'd heard of Fonte. I was familiar with Little Brother. I hadn't become a Little Brother fan at that point, but I became a fan like almost at the same time that I did with The Foreign Exchange. Didn't know anything about the first album or anything. I heard Leave It All Behind first and then had to go back to connect it. But man, listen, that album, oh my God, that album from start to finish, it will blow you away. And what's interesting is I always laugh when I think about this album, because my sons used to call it the haircut album. And the reason why they called it the haircut album is because they would get a haircut when I would cut their hair, because I used to cut their hair when they were little. I would cut their hair and I'd play this album. And so they subsequently became fans of that particular album, because it was the one album that from my collection that I could play. And I could play it all the way through, and there wasn't no curse words in it or anything like that. Of course, you didn't, you know, they were young. I didn't want them hearing a whole bunch of cussing. So my sons call that the haircut album, even to this day, and we laugh about it. But yeah, it is that album still, it's so fun to listen to. Shout out to Fonte and Nicolay. I don't think I've done an album review on Leave It All Behind. I know I haven't done it, at least on the Rap Soul podcast, and I don't think I've ever done it on the 12 Kyle podcast. So there will be a Leave It All Behind. There will be a Leave It All Behind album review. I don't think I've done it. I've done quite a few album reviews, but I don't think I've done that one. So I will be doing that. But yeah, that's it. That's 15 albums that stick with me. Again, starting with Songs in the Key of Life, Purple Rain, Illmatic, Paid in Full, Midnight Marauders, My Life, Illadelph Half-Life, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, Raising Hell, Brown Sugar, Aquemini, Heartbreak, To Pimp a Butterfly, Leave It All Behind, and Voodoo. Yeah. So again, my challenge to you is name 15 albums that stick with you. Do it in 15 minutes and tell me what you come up with. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thanks again for checking out this edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We drop new episodes every Monday and every Friday. If you're on social media, check us out. Rap Soul Podcast and 12 Kyle across the board. If you're into merch, we have 12 Kyle Podcast merch, which is our flagship station. Check us out there on the 12 Kyle Podcast page. We have 12 Kyle Podcast t-shirts, hoodies, as well as coffee mugs. We got it for the low. If you'd like to contribute to us financially, hit us up on Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Again, that's going to do it for me. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for checking out this edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5,000. Cheer.
Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.